It's the last division.
Oh, no.
The last melon. Shout out to Ice Age. NFC West. Let's get straight to it.
Welcome to the Fantasyland Football Podcast.
All right, Ian.
Come on.
It's hype. How many days are we away from football now? It must be
14, maybe. Hey, Siri.
15, 14 days.
How many days until September 9th? It's 2 weeks until then, she says.
2 weeks.
She doesn't even say the how many days. It's 2 weeks. That's how you know it's 14 days away, ladies and gentlemen.
Can never trust technology. Let me check. Let me get my handy dandy calendar.
If there is one person I can trust, it's Siri.
Okay, I can confirm. Mm-hmm, I can confirm.
Siri's never wrong.
Sure. It is Wednesday, August 25th.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
And we are here to bring you an amazing podcast. Our follower leagues are full, extremely excited about it. We just did draft order reveal mm-hmm. on our YouTube live stream over there on Twitch and YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/FantasylandFootball, twitch.tv/FantasylandFootball. I now have my draft spot in our redraft in our dynasty league with our followers. I'm looking to trade out of that dynasty, mm-hmm. you know, in that dynasty league. We'll see what offers come. But I'm excited. We have so many drafts coming up in the next 2 weeks.
Absolutely. I think we probably have four.
Six, five, seven, eight.
More?
I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot coming up.
I actually don't know. But yeah, I'm so happy. I got the 1.1 in the redraft league. And then the 1.3 in a dynasty. Zach is playing mental games saying he's not going to take Kyler Murray. He's taking Kyler Murray, and I'm going to have a good, beautiful stock of my brother, Josh Allen, on my team, and I cannot wait.
This is going to be so sad for you when I take Josh Allen. Look, I have to consider the contract. One of them has a six-year guaranteed contract, and you never know. Okay. He thinks I'm playing mind games. He can keep thinking that. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
But big shout-out to everyone joining those leagues. Now, if you guys want, and you're listening to this, you said, I didn't sign up still because we have a wait list. Okay. Yes. So if you still want to play, sign up for the wait list. And if it doesn't work out, we'll obviously refund any money that, you know, you did pay to support us. Secondly, the fantasy hotline is still available. Okay. So if you want help, I know there's a couple people who have been DMing us mm-hmm. asking for help, and unfortunately, this year, we're not able to answer everyone's questions. Last year, we answered everyone's questions, you know, hundreds and hundreds of questions, and we were glad we were able to do it. But with our other jobs and with our families and with everything going on in life and building the Fantasyland brand, unfortunately, we're not able to answer everyone's questions. We would wake up to hundreds of DMs every day last week during the season on Instagram, and mm-hmm. as much as we loved it, we just can't keep up with it. And we also want to prioritize the people who support us and give them good advice. Because while there's many accounts out there that you can go to for advice, friendly reminder, there's hundreds and hundreds of people DMing them as well.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. we want to be able to prioritize you and give good, thoughtful advice, not just, you know, shove you away with our answer, but we want to give explanations behind it. So the fantasy hotline is still available. You can get that through our Close Friends Plus tier, patreon.com/fantasylandfam. Let's go win some chips.
I'm pumped.
Should we get into some news?
Oh, no.
No? Skip it?
Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
All right, let's get to some news.
What is going on here?
I'll start it off for you here. Travis Etienne placed on season-ending IR, you know, with that. I don't even know how to say it. It's a foot in his bone that is season-ending. If there was one person Zach was hyped about all of this year, coming into this year, it was Travis Etienne. He was extremely sad this morning when we woke up our time, confirming the news that he was done. Walk us through it.
Well, I mean, this is why, you know what I've decided in my heart.
Okay.
I'm not going to fall in love with players anymore. Because if you don't fall in love, then you never have to have your heart broken. Love is a scam. It's not real. It's a figment of our imaginations.
Coming from a happily married man, by the way.
I love you. I love you. Shout out to my wifey. The only person I can trust is my wife, you know? I love Travis Etienne. More importantly, I hope he's okay. That has to be such a tough battle for your mental health. When you think about it, like let's be real for a second.
Right.
You are a highly scouted first round prospect. You get drafted, and before you even start, you're out for the year. I just can't imagine what he's going to be going through for the next year. Even next year when we talk about training camps, there's going to be this, you know, thing that he's battling the entire year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm obviously destroyed from a fantasy perspective. This was the one player I was more excited to watch this year than anyone else. Mm. And have I recovered from it? No.
No.
Will I recover from it? No.
You have to.
Probably not. No, probably not.
You have to. If there was one thing about Travis Etienne that I am concerned about, it's this injury itself. If you actually look into it, I'm not a doctor or anything.
Mid-foot. Like sprain. It's that mid part of that foot, that sprain. Yeah,
it is. It seems everything that I've looked up, all the videos that I've watched, it seems extremely hard to come back from this. It seems like it was better, like Zach was saying, to have had a torn ACL.
Yeah, I would have much rather preferred a torn ACL because there's a clear way to get back from that, and you can come back stronger as an NFL player because we've seen that so many times with this injury, the midfoot sprain. Obviously, it's worse than what we originally thought. It is worst case scenario. This is one of those injuries where you have to get it taken away. You have to get it sorted out straight away.
Yeah.
There's no time. No time to waste. Because the person will be in physical pain themselves. So you have to get surgery straight away and go straight into recovery. He's likely out for the year. So in redrafts, he's just not someone that you have on your team anymore. In dynasty leagues, I was so high on Etienne. He was my running back 9. I love him. Love him. But this obviously is now worrisome.
Yeah.
I am in the position, because I have Etienne in a lot of leagues, where I'm not selling him. I'm not selling him unless an amazing trade comes to me. And it's just not going to happen. No one's going to give you proper value for Travis Etienne.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think you have to keep him on your IR spot. And just hope and believe that next year, you know, he's able to recover from this fully. Keep in mind that James Robinson, I think he might be only on contract next year. So they have to make some sort of decisions. It sucks. It truly, truly sucks. I really think he had everything it took to be the next Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
Could he come back from it? Maybe. It's hard to say at this point because that surgery, it's not a natural surgery. Like there are screws and plates being put into his foot. It's not exactly what you want if you play in the National Football League.
No. Let me ask you one question right before we move on then. Who comes back better and stronger just off the rip? Cam Akers or Travis Etienne?
I think Etienne has a better chance. Okay. I am way less worried about Etienne's injury than I am worried about Cam Akers because that Achilles, man, that means everything.
It's definitely
harder. It means everything.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely harder. Okay. Robbie Anderson signs a two.
Let's talk about James Robinson.
Oh, okay. Quickly. Oh, yeah, true. James Robinson.
We have to talk about James Robinson. People would be upset if we didn't. I have him ranked now as my RB 14. He might be RB 16 by tonight. We're going to release our rankings tonight.
Right.
You're going to see them by the time you listen to this podcast. So I need to have a further in-depth look at it. But I think going in the mid third round is a real safe spot for a guy like James Robinson.
Yeah, for me, it's end of the third. Middle of the fourth, end of the fourth for me.
Which he's never going to be
there. And maybe that's right. At the moment, right now, once again, we have to do a little bit more extensive research. For me, I'm just comfortable taking him where I have him. Right now, he's running back 24. Yes, he's probably going to take the majority of this workload. There's nobody else that's going to be taking touches away from him. Yes, Carlos Hyde is there, and he means nothing in our eyes. But James Robinson, I think last year, you know, RB5 or RB6, if I'm not mistaken, that was his absolute ceiling. I don't see him finishing in the top 10. For me, it's more like 12, 15, 16. That's where I'm really comfortable.
I don't see how you have 24 running backs ahead of him. Like that, I really, really struggle with that.
And that's where we disagree. Like someone like Chris Carson, Monty, Miles Sanders, JJ, which is Josh Jacobs, I'm a little bit more comfortable taking, even a Javonte, I'm more comfortable taking over a James Robinson at the moment. Once again, this is still very early. But those are the guys that I know you have ahead of him, which is the Chris Carsons, the Monty, the Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs.
I have James Robbins ahead of those people.
Yeah, exactly. So for me at the moment, I trust those guys a lot more. I trust those guys a lot more.
It is so hard to find a situation where you just know this dude is the, without question, bell cow running back. Okay. As much as we love Clyde, are we sure he's going to not have anyone take those touches away from him? What about JK with Gus? What about Swift with Jamal Williams?
I think everything comes down to...
What about Miles Sanders with Kenneth Gainwell?
The offense.
What about Josh Jacobs with Kenyon Drake? What about Chris Carson? Right? So I look at it and I'm thinking, this dude is guaranteed to get the work now. I don't know if we are all watching the same games, but if you're worried about Carlos Hyde, he looked like he should have retired 4 years ago. He should not be getting playing time. I know he will, but he shouldn't.
You know, I can probably say the same thing in reversal, you know, like, so somebody that quote unquote should be getting the bell cow touches that we all get upset at every single year, Aaron Jones when Jamal Williams was there. Yes, now AJ Dillon is there. Antonio Gibson last year with JD McKissick, that was a problem. Not saying Carlos Hyde is going to be a pass catching back, or I'm just saying those are the things that I think of as well. I'm more comfortable knowing what each and every one of those guys' roles are in this offense right now, where James Robinson, you know, we're just pulling from what he did last year, which is fine.
I mean,
I think this offense
read between the lines at this point. How much more information do you want to know about James Robinson? I know what he could do. Mm-hmm. Like the volume was there last year in a bad offense. What if the offense gets better and the volume slightly gets, you know, taken down a bit?
I don't get it.
We know everything we need to know. We know more about James Robinson's situation than Dobbins, Swift, Clyde, Montgomery, Jacobs, Sanders, Carson.
I think there's still so much more, you know. Or what is Coach Urban Meyer going to do? What is Trevor Lawrence going to do? And this offense changed. The offensive line doesn't get any better. Not saying it's terrible, but it doesn't get any better. I don't think they're going to be so focused on carrying the ball. LaViska, DJ Chark, and all these guys that were fantasy... not irrelevant, but like we're in the middle of the pack, lower end of the pack, are now projected to be finishing higher, like a Marvin Jones, like a LaViska.
If you want your rookie quarterback to be successful, establish the run. Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, your rookie quarterback is going to struggle. So,
100%.
I don't get it, bro. James Robinson is a guy I want in every league, and I want him over a lot of the guys that you do, but we see it differently. That's classic. That's always the case. Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, that was news, right? Robbie Anderson signs a 2-year extension, $29.5 million. Yep. Congratulations to him. Elijah Moore on track to play Friday preseason game, which is good. I think it's good if you are Elijah Moore fan and you want to see how he's going to be worked into this offense. And if you believe in Elijah Moore like I do, I think this is something that you should be looking out for in that Friday night preseason game.
Swifty. Yeah, it'll be super interesting to see what happens there, because I think the Jets are a team. Every team is playing preseason so differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Chargers aren't playing any starters.
Yeah.
But a team like the Jets, you should probably play your starters as much as you can, because a lot of them are rookies.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Swifty.
Yeah, Swifty may not be ready for week one. I think this is huge news for everyone that is DeAndre Swift. There was so much talks going into it saying, hey, he's going to be fine. He's projected to come and start week one. Now it's switched. Lions head coach Dan Campbell said that running back DeAndre Swift's status is up in the air.
That sucks.
I mean, and they don't know when he's going to be coming back. They don't know how he's going to be feeling.
It's not like a long-term injury. I think it's just like he's probably at that point a questionable tag, right, for week one.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be playing week two or three probably.
That window from now to week one is getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, The issue is with Swift is you never want to draft a player who is already dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
That's why I'm off Clyde in redrafts. That's why I'm off Swift now. So again, do you have Swift ahead of James Robinson? Because this is another thing where it just blows my mind if you do.
Yeah, I do. I generally do.
Okay. Cam Newton. What's up with Cam Newton?
He missed practice due to this COVID misunderfanding. He left the facility to apparently
classic.
Apparently,
misunderstand COVID all the time.
he left the Patriots facility to go to a doctor or something like that. Approved doctor by the facility, and apparently there was some sort of misunderstanding. There's a lot of gray areas in between the lines there when you actually read it.
But shout out to gray areas.
I think the biggest thing to take away from this was that there was a report saying that now this opens up the opportunity for Mac Jones to potentially start week one.
Do it. Do it. I don't know. I mean, why not? He looks ready.
He definitely does.
I've not seen anything in the preseason to say that he couldn't start week one. He's probably the most ready rookie right now. Rookie quarterback. I mean, I don't think he has the upside everyone else has, right? But if you look at where everyone is, he's probably in the best position to start, in my opinion.
I think he is the most, I don't know. I think Justin Fields is more ready, in my opinion. But I do agree. I think he can drive the ball down the field as the most quote-unquote ready quarterback, where Justin Fields is a little bit more mobile. But what's the problem with Mac Jones is that he has no weapons around him. Jacoby Myers is kind of coming out, emerging. He has Damian Harris in the backfield. But everyone else, what's happening? Yes, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry are in question with their injury. But looks like they're coming back. But I don't think that's enough still.
You know what this tells me? And we've been saying it all offseason. Draft Damian Harris. Okay? I mean, this is going to happen sooner than people think. Switchover.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad because I took him in the mock draft today. So...
Oh boy. Which isn't your real team, but that's good.
No, but
you're going to hang that mock, you're going to print out a photo of that mock draft.
Just 100% pin it on your wall. This is where I took Damian Harris. That's not on a team that I care about. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Before we get into the NFC West predictions, we want to tell you about RSA. If you don't know, we have a partner in Rochester Sports Autographs. They help us give you signed jerseys, you know, when we our giveaways. Mm-hmm. So they are our go-to for anything sports memorabilia. If you want signed jerseys, signed helmets, signed footballs, if you want anything MLB, basketball, they even had Olympics up there. I mean, whatever you want, signed sports memorabilia, RSA should be your go-to. Better yet, they already have the best prices because they work directly with the athletes. But we also have a 15% off discount for you. Okay, so here's the deal. Go to solo.to/fantasylandfootball in your browser and then click on the RSA tab. At checkout, if you enter our code, which is FL15, you will get 15% off your order. Okay, so again, FL15 at checkout. Go get you some swag.
Come on.
Come on. All right, NFC West, baby, one of the best divisions in football. Let's start from the top.
Yeah.
We got the Seahawks, who finished first last year at 12-4. I have them predicted to go 11-5. You have them predicted to go.
I have them predicted to go 11-5 as well.
Okay. I think the issue is for me is this schedule is no cakewalk. Okay. This is a difficult schedule, especially in the NFC West. But they also, the games that aren't in division are still pretty difficult games.
Oh, let's start 12-5.
You have them going.
Because 11-5 is impossible.
Right. Sorry, I have them going 11-6.
I have them going 12-5. I got so confused.
That's on me. I have them going 11-6. Look, the schedule is no cakewalk. Like I said, it is a difficult schedule. The only give me games I see is the Lions and the Texans. I mean, when you look at it, every other game, they are going to have to fight to win. You could maybe say the Jags might be a give-me game, but I think they're going to be a better team. it's not an easy schedule.
No, it's not an easy schedule by any means. I think every single game they're going to fight for. But what do we know about the Seahawks? They fight every single game. It's never a blowout game. It's really rare when you see that, though, when the Seahawks are getting blown out. I think the last time, I think it was last year when the Bills just scored like three touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yeah, Russ kept getting picked off.
Yeah, I remember that one. But
I agree. That's why I have them winning 11 games, because they have shown an ability to win those close games.
Yeah,
100%. You know, they will probably be in the playoffs. I think the issue with, you know, some people might listen and say, only 11 wins, what's going on? I just don't think this team got better this year. Like, what did they do in the offseason to really get better?
I completely agree.
I don't see anything.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that's my biggest question mark. Is like, what happened? What did they do? Yes, they drafted Dwayne Eskridge. I can't really tell you off the top of my head right now who else they drafted that's going to help this offense.
They didn't have many draft picks because of Jamal Adams.
Yeah, exactly. So they do re-sign Jamal Adams, which is good. Hopefully he stays healthy. And I think this defense gets a little better, hopefully, with the health. I think there was a lot of injuries last year. Yeah. But, I mean, it's really, in my opinion, DK Metcalf, Russ, Tyler Lockett, and Chris Carson, which I feel like still is not enough.
Yeah, the issue is, right, in this division, every other team got better.
Mm-hmm.
Every other team got better.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Hawks did anything to get better. They're still a good team, so they're going to make the playoffs. Biggest question mark for the Seahawks, for me, it's will they let Russ cook? Or will it be back to the run game?
Oh, man. I think it's 50-50, personally. 60-40. They'll let Russ cook 60-40 because they have Chris Carson, Rashad Penny, who we'll probably talk about a little bit later. He's looking good in preseason. And it looks like he can, if he stays healthy, they could be some sort of dual threat back there if that's the case. But I guess the
reason I say that is because I wonder if any of Let's Make Russ Happy will bleed into their game plan this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's no secret that Russ at least talked about leaving in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So will they have the best game plan for this team, or will they have the best game plan to keep Russ happy? Who knows? I don't know what they will do.
Mm.
You got a question mark here?
Question mark. Well, my question mark was literally what you said, you know, offense, what was going to happen. They didn't get better. I don't think the team gets better, but somehow they always find a way to win games. That was my biggest question mark.
All right. Fantasy deep sleeper. I'll go first. It's pretty obvious. Gerald Everett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Comes over from the Rams, stays in the division, but more importantly, he is kind of this new hybrid tight end type. I think he fits that role. Super athletic guy. He's almost like the Walmart version of Jonnu Smith. No one's talked about him, that's not supposed to be disrespectful, but the reason I say that is no one's talked about him this offseason.
It's a good price. You get good prices at Walmart.
You shop at Walmart? I don't know if you've seen that TikTok.
No.
You probably shop at Walmart. I've never been to one. I'm not disrespecting Gerald Everett. I love him. What I'm trying to say is no one has really talked about that signing, and I think he has a chance to be the third receiving option on this team. It's not as if that role is clearly defined.
Yeah. I do have him in a dynasty league as a, you know, late tight end. And I, just for fun, have him getting more touchdowns than DK Metcalf, which is how, you know, how you can nickname your team, your player.
Right.
That's just a little fun fact. I don't know why I did that. but I do agree. he's a deep sleeper.
It's not going to happen, by the way.
Yeah. He is a deep sleeper. For me, my deep sleeper is Rashad Penny. He's back. He's healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy. He's been looking good in preseason. He's been getting a lot of work in preseason as well. I do believe he's in number two behind Chris Carson. If Chris Carson goes down, it looks more comfy to be taking Rashad Penny as a backup just in case that does happen. So have a look out for Rashad Penny, because we all know Chris Carson probably will miss tops three games potentially. It feels like every year he misses at least three games. But Rashad Penny, he's looking good.
All right, the last word on these Seattle Seahawks. If this team can be at least top 15 as a defense, They have a chance to make a real run, but the defense has to be much improved.
Yeah, you know, I do like that take. For me, my last word would probably have to be, I think they still win this division, in my personal opinion. And it's going to be very last minute. And I think what they have to do is change that narrative. They can't win these last minute games. They have to, like, they are such a talented team and Russ is such a good quarterback that you're right. The defense has to get better. So they just have to be less of a last minute winning team, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Put them away early.
Yeah.
All right, we have the Los Angeles Rams, who finished 10-6 last year. This is my divisional winner this year. Yeah. I think the Rams win this division. I think they go 12-5. What's your prediction before I say why?
I just said that the Seahawks will win the division, but I actually have the Rams winning the division as 13-4.
Okay, so you lied to us.
Essentially, but you know what I mean by, like, they need to just put games away. Like, they are talented enough. But yes, Rams for me, 13-4.
Okay, so here's the deal. This team made the playoffs last year with Jared Goff as their starting quarterback. No disrespect to Goff, but Matthew Stafford is here. We all know what that means. I think at minimum, Matthew Stafford will equate to a 2-game win difference for this team at minimum. Right. They could hit the 13 wins if everything goes right. But more importantly, the defense is elite. So those two things combined feels nasty. Like this team is bound to win a lot of games.
Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Roberto Woods, they do lose Cam Akers, but they do have a competent in Darrell Henderson and Tyler Higbee, who could be a great tight end sleeper this year because, you know, Matthew Stafford, as we know, loves to target the tight end.
Well, let's talk about biggest question marks on this team first before we get into fantasy. For me, it's actually Darrell Henderson.
Yes.
Okay. So we're on the same page. Yes. I want him to stay healthy. I don't know if it will happen. Can he stay healthy? But also, can he do what's necessary to allow this team to flourish? Can he be the running back that they need him to be so the offense can reach its potential? That's my biggest question mark for this team.
I'm right there with you. Can Darrell Henderson, you know, really maintain that backfield and understand, stay healthy, do all the things he needs to do to play his part in such a big, you know, offense, a big team, essentially, you know, a great offense, a great defense.
A lot of pressure on his shoulders, I imagine.
Yeah, a good wide receiving core, a great quarterback. The tight end is decent, but don't necessarily need him. It's the run game that they need to establish with Darrell Henderson. And you're right, that is the biggest question mark.
Did you watch that Hard Knocks episode where they Cowboys versus Rams practice?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw that moment. There was a moment where Sean McVay was talking to Aaron Donald right after that little scuffle that they had. And Aaron Donald was almost like disrespected that Sean McVay would come up and ask him about it. I don't know if you saw that. I mean, I just wonder what sort of conversation Sean McVay and Aaron Donald have, because
it was a face
if
expression?
I was Sean McVay, I would be like shitting my pants anytime I went to talk to Aaron Donald. But it was basically like Sean McVay came over. He was like, hey man, like we probably shouldn't do that. Aaron Donald just like looked at him. He was like, waved his hand, get out of here. I would instantly shit myself in that moment.
I mean, he's the head coach. He can cut you in any moment. So
true. All right. Fantasy deep sleeper. Am I the only one who would shit my pants if Aaron Donald was mad at me?
No, I'll square up with him.
You're not doing anything.
Come see me on the block, my guy.
Nah, bro. You're dead.
Yeah. You ain't nothing.
All right. Fantasy deep sleepers. You said one of them already. I think there's a lot on this team. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of deep sleepers. Tyler Higbee's probably the number one deep sleeper.
Yeah.
Is a tight end you can get with one of your last couple picks in redraft leagues. A guy that is my tight end 12. I don't want to steal your thunder. Is there anyone else that you're excited about? I mean, there's a couple, but
for me, it's not necessarily I'm excited about. It's the guy that I'm keeping eyes out on is Xavier Jones and Jake Funk, those backups for Darrell Henderson. I believe if he doesn't perform, Sean McVay is going to give these guys opportunity. And he needs to. I mean, we saw it last year where one day was Malcolm Brown, the other day was Darrell, and the other day was Cam Akers. Why wouldn't he do it this year? You know,
I agree. And even throughout these injuries and what's happening with Darrell Henderson right now, he still says, I'm good with what we got, which means he's got to trust Xavier Jones and Jake Funk, which, by the way, I mean, watching the preseason games, I get the hype out of camp, but I'm not seeing anything that's blown me away from those two guys just yet. I have them in dynasty leagues, but I'm not like, holy shit, when Xavier Jones gets the chance, yeah. You know, he's a future superstar. They look like good, competent backs, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm right there with you.
All right, last word. I think this is a legit Super Bowl contending team. Legit Super Bowl contending team. I think you would think the same because you have them winning 13 games, right?
Yeah, I think they are a legit Super Bowl contending team. I agree with you. I agree. You know, my last word would just be, who's the running back? It's not even a last word. It's more of a question. I'm scared that everything was aligned for them before Cam Akers got injured, and maybe Cam Akers was the piece. Not saying he revolved around the whole thing, but like, he played a massive part. Now it feels like they're one dimensional now.
Right. So maybe even more to that, Cam Akers being the RB1 of a running back by committee was the missing piece.
Yeah.
Because now it's Daryl Henderson trying to fill that role, but maybe that committee doesn't punch like it should.
Absolutely.
All right. The Cardinals finished last year at 8-8, started the year great, and then completely just caved in on themselves. I like this team. I think they're going 10-7. I think you probably have them with less wins.
I have one less win with 9 wins.
Okay.
So
I like Kyler. You don't like Kyler. You have this, you know, hate for him that can't be described in words.
It's not that I don't like Kyler as a player. I'm just not high on him in fantasy. That's two different conversations.
Okay. I love the additions that this team has made this offseason. Okay. JJ Watt, I know statistically it hasn't been amazing, but what he does on the field is still very impressive. 100%. And to have him on the edge with Jones there in the middle, I think this is going to be a beefy defensive line. But also AJ Green at a discounted price. Why not? It costs us barely anything. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the draft, getting Zaven Collins, that improves the defense. And you know I love Rondale Moore. You know how much I love Rondale.
Look, I agree. I think this team is really good, extremely talented. They did improve in the defense and on the offense on both, obviously both sides of the ball. I think the schedule is just hard.
I agree.
I think you can look at the first three games and it's like, you know, they can go either way. But once they go, the Rams, 49ers, Cleveland, Packers, you know, Seahawks, the Bears, Colts, you know, even Dallas, that's hard, bro. That's hard.
I know.
There's only 4 gimme games here, in my personal opinion, if there were gimme games. Once again, Texans, maybe the Panthers, and then the Jags and Vikings, in my opinion, are probably the best 4 gimme games. But other than that,
I don't even consider the Vikings or, you know, I don't think that's a give me game.
Right. You see, like that.
You know, I like the Vikings, but.
Yeah, 100%. So
I think this is going to be one of those teams that's 500 most of the year, fighting for the playoffs. I think they'll get hot late. And they're constantly going to be in that wild card. You know, it's Sunday Night Football, and we're looking at, okay, who's in the wild card? Oh, they're in the hunt. They're right there. They could make the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they can go even 500 in their division, win 3, lose 3, that's they only have to go 500, and I think they have a real legitimate chance to make the playoffs. And that is my biggest question mark. Can Kyler, and more importantly, Kingsbury, take the next step together?
Yeah.
We know how talented Kyler is, but what about when this team is in close games? Or what if the game plan that you had isn't working? Because last year, if the game plan wasn't working, they couldn't win games. They couldn't adjust.
Yeah. You know, I completely agree with you. But for me, my biggest question mark is just a little bit more specific on one position. Who is the wide receiver to? Yes, AJ Green and Rondale Moore kind of comes in. Are they really going to help? Once again, it was super one-dimensional every single time. It was not one-dimensional. It was just Kyler and D-Hop. Kyler, D-Hop, right. You know, Kenny and Drake sometimes surprised us, but there was no one else on this team. There was no one else that was like, okay, hey, you know, they can make a difference. I think that's the biggest question mark. Who is going to make a difference this year? AJ Green, Rondell Moore, somebody
has to step up. I get where you're coming from, but I would even argue that the running back position is even more of a question mark, because if Chase Edmonds can take a leap, they'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But if Edmonds and Connor are just kind of average and consistent as they have been during their career, that could potentially hurt them more than this second wide receiver.
What's a leap? You know, because a leap for Chase Edmonds, leap. For me,
yeah,
it would, for in a fantasy perspective, him just finishing RB25 is decent.
Yeah, I agree, that's decent. But I mean more a leap in what he can offer an offense as a running back. Okay, because he's, you know, Chase Edmonds has just been a pass catching guy. So can you take that leap? If you get 15 carries a game, which he's not going to get, if you get the 10 carries a game, will you be effective with them? Or are you still a one-dimensional player, right?
Right.
So I think that might be a big question I'm looking at this year. I want Edmonds to succeed. Let's talk about fantasy deep sleepers. Do you have one in particular in mind?
Yeah, AJ Green. That's my guy this year. Fantasy deep sleeper, once again. Like you said, great price, great guy. The wide receiver one for the Bengals for multiple years. We've seen what he can do. I believe he has stuff in the tank. He just needed a little extra boost. There was too many mouths
change to feed. Change of
scenery? Yeah, too many mouths to feed over there in Cincinnati with Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Joe Moneybag Mixon. But now he comes to a team that really needs his help. They need him.
Mm.
So I like AJ Green. You can get him at a no price.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to draft this guy, typically. Mm-hmm. Mine is Rondale Moore, and I think Rondale Moore is probably going to be the more valuable asset in fantasy this year, and you can get him with, like, your last, second-to-last pick in redraft leagues. Mm-hmm. When I look at those two wide receivers, I would potentially advocate to say it's easier to get Rondale Moore the ball. AJ Green, there's not as many ways to get the ball to him within that offense, you know? So it's hard for me to see how he's targeted a bunch of times per game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he's one of those guys in the red zone who's like, hey, you could throw the ball up there and see what happens. But anyway, mine's Rondale Moore. I think both are good, you know, long shots. You got a last word for the Cardinals?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, make or break year for Kyler Murray. And when I say is make or break year, he has progressed in every fantasy perspective, but he hasn't, in my opinion, has really progressed this team to, you know, to the next level. It's always been even, you know, he probably wins one game. We even have him projected to win one game, two more games than what he did. That's not a huge leap. This is, and right. it is a tough division. Don't get me wrong, but like to be in this division specifically, you have to be different. And not that Kyler Murray isn't. But like, does he have enough to make that, once again, that leap, that push to at least finish second in this division, to maybe push to be first in this division? And I don't think that's going to happen this year or in the years to come with this Rams offense or the Seahawks if Russ stays in this division. So it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Mine's actually similar, but it's not about Kyler for me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have questions about Kyler. I think he's a franchise quarterback. I have questions about Cliff Kingsbury. Is he the right head coach for Kyler Murray and this team? Show us that you are the right hire, because right now we haven't seen that you're the right hire. I haven't seen in game plans, I haven't seen in games the adjustments that you've made to help this team out, to help Kyler out. I think Cliff Kingsbury's on the hot seat. If this team doesn't make the playoffs, I don't think he keeps his job. I genuinely don't.
Really? You know, I'm complete opposite. I think he's in a good spot. I think the organization maybe it's just, to be honest, I haven't looked in depth into Cliff Kingsbury's, like, you know, position and status and, you know, what the organization has been talking about. Just from the outside in, as a fan looking at it, it seems like,
no way,
they like this guy. It seems like he was the key. He came in and switched things up when they, you know, they selected Josh Rosen and was like, you know what, we're getting Kyler Murray. F that. Josh Rosen was not the guy.
That's an easy decision for any head coach, hopefully. I don't think,
He's made some
I good, think if you did a poll, and you asked all of Arizona, like the fans there, are you happy with Cliff Kingsbury? I think the approval rating would be very, very low. That probably be
right.
90% no, 10% yes. I think he's absolutely on the hot seat. I don't think he, bro, this team last year was like 6-3 at one point. You finished 8-8. What you were doing got found out, and you didn't do anything to adjust. Cliff Kingsbury's got to be on the hot seat for
me. But that's the thing.
He's not shown that he can be a Super Bowl winning head coach, and this team needs to take the next steps.
Oh man, I just don't know. I think it was kind of like I full
heartedly believe. The last thing I'll say is, I full heartedly believe there are many other head coaches that would be better for this team. Many.
Eric Bieniemy, something like that, from the Chiefs.
He's one of them.
Yeah. That's nice. Ooh, that's crazy. With that defense already, and that defense in Kansas City. Ooh, okay. Let me stop.
All right. Last team in the division is the 49ers. And, you know, I struggled because I didn't want to be disrespectful because I like the 49ers. Mm-hmm. But what worries me is I just don't want any 49er fans to have Super Bowl expectations this year. Because if I was a 49ers fan, I would want to make sure that those aren't my expectations. I think my goal for this year, again, if I was a 49ers fan, is to see and to know that Trey Lance is a superstar. That's my only goal this year. So with that being said, I have them predicted to go 8-9. I think they're still a decent team, but I don't think they are that same Super Bowl team defensively specifically.
Yeah, for me, I completely agree. I do have them winning a little bit more games. They're 10-7 for me. I do believe they have the opportunity to not necessarily make it to the playoffs, because it's going to be hard to make it to the playoffs in this division and maybe going in a wild card spot. But I do believe Jimmy G's here. The defense doesn't get younger, but they do.
They get healthier. Yeah,
exactly. Bosa's back, but they get healthier. George Kittle's here. You know, Raheem Mostert is back and healthy, hopefully. All these guys, Brandon Ayuk in year two, Deebo Samuels, hopefully he could be healthy and stay healthy.
I get it.
There's so many good pieces on this team that I actually do have hope for this team. I completely agree. I don't know if they can make the playoffs or be Super Bowl contenders. I think that's my biggest thing, that they can't do that. But this team is extremely talented. I have them finishing, I think, third in this division. Yeah,
I agree. They're extremely talented. I just don't think this defense is what it was. So I know there's 49er fans who are going to be listening to this and probably upset, but I think if we're honest with each other, this is not the same team that it was that went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no doubt.
I think you guys need to be looking at 2022. Hey, that's our year. Load up on the draft, load up in free agency. And Trey Lance, hopefully he is that guy. So still a good team, but not an elite defense anymore. The biggest question mark, it's quite clear, is the quarterback battle.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
When will Trey Lance start? Because it feels like there's not a scenario that Jimmy G plays the entire year, in my opinion.
Yeah, it seems that way. I think there's just going to be, this is going to be a team that we're going to be eyeing for the whole year to see when's Trey getting the call up. It's hard because it seems like, you know, Jimmy has an easy start. Detroit and then Philly, you expect them to win those games.
And I was going to say, this team's probably going to start 2-0.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, okay, Jimmy's doing his thing. Then he has green, and then his test, he gets really tested with Packers, Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Colts, four games back to back that are actually really tough.
Honestly, those next like 8 games, that's tough.
It's tough. Can Jimmy G do it? But he's done it before.
Yeah.
He's done it before. So
he has.
And then it's,
I want to see Trey early, personally. But
okay,
maybe, you know, that's what I want. But maybe as an organization, it's smart to not start him early. Maybe as an organization, you look at Trey and say, let's actually take the time. Because this isn't only a third overall pick for the 49ers. That's not all this is. The Jets, it's only a second overall pick. The Jags, it's a first overall pick. Means a lot. Both of them mean a lot. But this isn't only a third overall pick for the Niners. It's a third overall pick. It's a future first round next year, and I believe a future first round the year after. I could be wrong. I think there's some other picks in there. So this means more to this franchise than almost any of the other quarterbacks that went off the board.
Yeah. Who was, you know, so great, so funny that you say that. I completely forgot who was third before.
Who it was the Dolphins.
The Dolphins. Gosh, imagine Trey or somebody.
Yeah.
Just like,
no, really remember quick. We said we're not going to shit on Tua yet.
No, really quick tangent though. Like, just imagine if the Dolphins stayed there. It was either Kyle Pitts. Think about how it would have went down. Kyle Pitts. Who else? Who else was an offensive weapon? They clearly got Jalen Jamar Chase. Jamar Chase, true. That was another one. Man, that's crazy. It's just so weird not thinking about it. Anyways.
Yeah. History. Do we have a deep sleeper for this team in fantasy?
You know, it's not a deep sleeper. It's a guy you can probably get in the middle rounds, and that's Raheem Mostert. Raheem the Dream. A lot of people are really hyped on Trey, and looking at preseason, and maybe it's just preseason hype or not hype, if you call it. But Trey, it looks like they're going to be integrating him very slowly. It looks like Raheem is going to be starting for a very long time, and maybe people aren't seeing that right now.
Maybe so, you draft Raheem and then you trade for
Trey.
Trey.
Yeah.
Mid-year.
Uh-huh.
My deep sleeper is Trey Lance, and this is in redraft leagues. Big shout out to Mike Wright, Fantasy Footballers, one of our favorite shows.
Mm-hmm.
He basically said that he's going to take Trey Lance with his last pick of every redraft league and just see what happens, because he has league winning upside. I agree. If Trey Lance does take over, he could have like an RG3 type rookie year, you know? So it's an interesting thing. I like the idea of taking Trey Lance with my last pick. The last word, it's all about 2022. Stay healthy. That's it for me.
That was like a movie. Stay healthy. 2020. Good night, guys.
That sounds like more like a presidential.
Yeah, it was something that was supposed to be on TV. My last word is I believe Jimmy G can still be the starter at the towards the end of the season.
Right.
You know? I think Trey is a extremely talented quarterback. I do believe Jimmy G knows this offense a lot better. He understands crunch time moments. So my last word is that I believe in Jimmy. I have a little bit of hope for him this year, and I hope for the best and for Jimmy himself as a human being. I hope he is successful. Genuinely, like, man. Don't you see a scenario like that, though?
Yeah. No, I see it as a possibility. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking at a tweet I just got. This was from the NFL beat writers. Jerry Jeudy will be the Broncos' number one wide receiver by virtue of Sutton's timeline for return to full strength. And I'm not sure that wouldn't be the case if Sutton wasn't dealing with the rehab. That's how dynamic Jeudy has been during his second NFL training camp.
Oh, boy.
We've been trying to tell you. I remember literally 2 months ago, I put something up on Instagram and I said that Jeudy was going to be the most valuable wide receiver in fantasy. Doesn't matter, redraft or dynasty.
Yep.
You weren't there yet. That's okay, because we always get different places and we always have different thoughts. But more specifically, I remember everyone was replying saying that that's insane. Like, I was crazy.
Yeah, dude,
there's no way that it's not Sutton. I'm like, guys, you are all forgetting who Jerry Jeudy is.
Yeah. You know, I was on the Sutton train very early. I came, you know.
Saw the light.
Yeah, saw the light. And I'm on the right side. I'm with the force now. And I think the dark side was just very, very bad.
Great analysis. Yeah. All right. I think that's it for today. We have another podcast. I don't even remember what this next podcast is. I think it's last minute draft tips. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Let me double check here. The NFC West today. Yep, we have a last minute draft tips. So we'll obviously talk about things like Travis Etienne, James Robinson, maybe Daryl Henderson with his injury.
Yep.
All the things that you need to know to kill your drafts. And maybe some things that we're going to try. So we will see you tomorrow. See you there.
See you there.
Hey, yeah, you, the one listening to this podcast, you made a good decision today. Keep making those good decisions. You know what? Go ahead and do a little dance right now, like no one's watching, because you deserve it.